As we turn to God's word, let us turn to God in prayer. Gracious God, how we do long for such a world where all but love will cease. And we know your word speaks to that kind of world, calls us to that kind of world. So as we turn to your word, Lord, we pray that your spirit would move over these ancient words and speak a new living word to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our Old Testament reading today comes from the second book of Samuel. I reference this passage in one of our stewardship letters. Today we're going to talk about it in a different but related sense. In the verses leading up to our text in 2 Samuel chapter 24, we learn that King David has sinned. We don't know the details of his sin other than the fact that it centered around his calling for a census. And a census served then as a preliminary act for a military draft and for taxes, either of which could be a means of a leader's enhancing his power. When David recognized his sin and wished to repent, God sent the prophet Gad to tell him what he needed to do. Listen for God's word from 2 Samuel chapter 24, beginning at verse 18. That day Gad came to David and said to him, "Go up and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite." Following God's instructions, David went up as the Lord had commanded. When Arauna looked down, he saw the king and his servants coming toward him. And Arauna went out and prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. Arauna said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, so that the plague may be averted from my people." Then Arauna said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering, and the threshing sledges, and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. All this, O king, Arauna gives to the king." And Arauna said to the king, "May the Lord your God respond favorably to you." But the king said to Arauna, "No, but I will buy them from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being. So the Lord answered his supplications for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Listen again for God's word. "Then it was necessary for the sketches of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves need better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again as a high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own, for then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We've been talking a lot recently about sacrificial giving. Today we're going to talk about sacrificial living. And what better day to talk about sacrificial living than on Veterans Day? Not just any Veterans Day, but as we heard earlier, this year's Veterans Day marks the 100th anniversary of the end of the Great War, the war to end all wars, World War I. War had been raging for 4 years, leaving 9 million soldiers dead and 21 million wounded. The United States suffered 116,000 losses, about twice the number killed in Vietnam. Then on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, an armistice was signed. Hostilities ceased and no more blood was shed. 1 year later, November 11th was declared to be Armistice Day. It became a federal holiday in the United States in 1918, and later in the aftermath of World War II and the Korean War, it became, as it is today, a day dedicated to American veterans of all wars. 100 years later, on the day we celebrate the end of hostilities and bloodshed, this text from Hebrews chapter 9, which speaks of another bloody death, just so happens to be the lectionary text for this day. This passage in Hebrews speaks of Jesus as the one who came to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's the divine understanding of what Jesus did, but at the time, humans didn't know that. The people of Jesus' day didn't know who Jesus was or what he ultimately was trying to do. Jesus knew what he was doing from God's standpoint. But from the human standpoint, all they saw was a person who challenged the status quo and the people in power. Those people of power, the Roman guard, stood ready to arrest and crucify anyone who was viewed as an opponent to the Roman Empire. Jesus could have remained silent, but he didn't. Instead, he spoke up for and helped the people around him who were being stepped on, used, and abused. From the day he chose to leave heaven, from his first day until his last day, Jesus sacrificed his own security for the security of others. He died on a cross to show us what love looks like in action. Our veterans have modeled that same kind of love and sacrifice. They gave up their security for the security of others. They put themselves in harm's way to protect their families, friends, neighbors, those known and unknown from harm. Following Jesus' example, they have shown us what love of country looks like in action. Even those who didn't pick up arms showed a willingness to lay down their life. Desmond Doss was a devout Christian who refused to touch a weapon or work on the Sabbath day. Still, he enlisted in the Army during World War II because he believed in the cause and offered to be a combat medic. At first, the Army wanted nothing to do with him. He didn't match the model of what a good soldier should be. Members of his own battalion considered him a pest, a slacker. They even threw shoes at him while he prayed. But in Okinawa in the spring of 1945, Doss and his company faced a grueling task. They had to climb a steep, jagged cliff and face thousands of heavily armed Japanese soldiers. Under heavy fire, Doss climbed the ridge and crawled from wounded soldier to wounded soldier, dragging each one to safety. The whole time he prayed, "Lord, please help me get one more." In the end, Doss saved 75 men over a 12-hour period. The soldiers who had once shamed him now praised him. His captain described him as one of the bravest people alive, a great example of a veteran who gave up his security for the security of others. Jesus loved the security of heaven for our security. He knew what it would cost him, but he didn't count the cost. From his first day to his last day, Jesus sacrificed himself for us. I read some Christian commentary this week about the significance of the centennial anniversary of the end of World War I and Jesus' crucifixion. The article said the cross of Christ was a kind of Armistice Day moment. When Jesus died, all hostilities ceased. I read that, I thought, that I believe that in theory, but then I look at the reality. I'd love to say we live in a world where all hostilities have ceased, but 100 years after the war to end all wars, we still find war and rumors of war. Our nation, in just a couple of weeks, has had two mass shootings. And this week, we've had midterm elections. And the debate leading up to those elections and the debate that still continues today, it's hard to say hostilities have ceased. So what do we do? On this day, when we do celebrate all hostilities and bloodshed have ceased, what's the best way to honor that? It's to claim the promise that all hostilities can cease if we remember the one blood that was shed. One of the most important phrases in our New Testament text that we may gloss over, but the original audience would not, is the phrase "once and for all." Under the old covenant, its original audience would have known that if they sinned, they were to make a sacrifice on the altar. If they messed up again, they were to give another sacrifice. And if they messed up again, they better get right back up to the altar and keep making sacrifices over and over and over again. And then Christ appeared and offered himself once for all. Does that mean that the old laws are gone? We no longer have to keep making sacrifices? No. It means the sacrifice is not in our giving, but in our living. King David understood that. Some years earlier, even before Christ appeared, this man, after God's own heart, got it. When he went to make that customary offering for his sins, he could have taken the cheap, easy way out. Instead, he said, "I will not offer the Lord my God that which costs me nothing." David knew that a sacrifice is only a sacrifice if you're invested in it. A sacrifice is only a sacrifice if it costs you something. The Apostle Paul understood that. It literally cost him his life. What gave him the courage to give his life for Christ, to live his life for Christ? In his letter to the Romans, Paul wrote, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Think about that question for a moment. If God is for us, who can be against us? If you and I truly understood deep down that God is for us, if we truly understood deep down that Jesus has removed all our sin and guilt and all that remains now is grace, how then should we live? What would you do today if you knew you couldn't fail? Because ultimately, we can't. Jesus appeared once for all to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. That means that all hostility between us and God is now removed once and for all. Anytime you get discouraged or feel like you've messed up again and again and again, look to the cross. Anytime you get discouraged by the hostilities and news of this world, look to the cross. Mass shootings, midterm elections, CNN news, or Fox News, none of these things ultimately define reality. Jesus Christ defines reality. Jesus came to show us what love looks like in action. What did it look like? It looked like healing people who are hurt. It looks like feeding people who are hungry, loving people who are stunned, defending people who are overwhelmed. It looks like friends sharing food together or having real conversation over a cup of morning coffee. It looks like helping the lost find meaning in life. What does love in action look like? It looks like a man 2,000 years ago hanging from a tree because not even the threat of death by those in power were enough to subdue his love for the least, the last, the lost. And that includes each of us. What does love in action look like today? It might very well mean some of those same things. It might mean you and I choose not to keep silent. It might mean you and I have to go against the status quo. At the very least, love in action means recognizing that Jesus died once for all. That means he didn't just die for you and me. He died for that classmate you just don't like. He died for the coworker who sometimes gets on your nerves. It means he died even for our enemy, that person who's hostile toward us and the person toward whom we sometimes are hostile. The cross of Christ is a kind of Armistice Day moment. When Christ died, all hostilities ceased. Maybe not yet, but it could happen. If you and I choose to look at our neighbor through the lens of the cross, to treat everyone as a person for whom Jesus died, then I can tell you, hostilities will cease. What does love in action look like? It looks like you and me, when we let the sacrifice of Christ empower us to live lives of sacrifice for one another. Deanna Burnett Bailey, widow of Thomas Burnett, Jr., who died on September 11th, 2001, aboard United Flight 93, said, "Heroes can give their lives all at one time. or they can give a little each day. Today, our nation remembers our war heroes. Today, the church also remembers our ultimate hero. In their memory and in their honor, to whom will you be a hero today? Heroes can give their lives all at one time, or they can give a little each day. And when giving a little feels like too much, remember that prayer by Desmond Doss, "Lord, help me to get one more." And when giving a little feels like too much, try offering this prayer, "Lord, help me to serve one more." In the name of Him who served us once and for all, amen.